from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
So, Ursula, it looks like there's some neighbors out there that are trying to sue others for renting out their swimming pools. So, Mickey Gomez is going to join us at 11:30 to talk about that topic.
Yeah, it's really cool. If you haven't heard about this app, it can help you find pools that actually are in people's backyards. Because we have a shortage of outdoor pools, let's face it, in Western Washington, in the Seattle area specifically. And so a lot of people have been literally diving in to renting pools for the hour, for the day, in people's backyards. But now there's a problem.
I'm not going to bring it up on the show because I'm trying to do a better job of not going too deep. But over the weekend, I really had this discussion about swimming in the United States. Mm. And why I'm being serious, because according to the USA Swimming Foundation, 64% of Black Americans have little to no swimming ability compared to 40% of white people. And so the question is why that happened?
Yeah, why? Okay, now I want to get into that.
Because in the early 20th century, when they made public pools out there, right, there was only a certain amount of people that had access to those pools. Because I always wonder why, like, you know, I've had, you know, the stereotype, but like, man, you know, not knowing how to swim. It is a systemic issue as to why folks did not know how to swim. Public pools weren't allowed to go there. Some of the lakes weren't allowed to go there as well.
And not only that, but after integration, after courts ruled that cities had to allow pools to be integrated, a lot of cities,
private
rather
pools,
than allowing Black people in, they paved over their own swimming pools.
Yeah. And then also, private pools became a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, went down this rabbit hole.
Wow.
I promised I wouldn't go there.
Okay, well, we're going to talk a little bit more at 11:30 when Mickey joins us. Text us, 888-973-5476.
Sure.
888-973-CHIRO is our state roofing text line. You're an important part of our show.
Yeah. Here we go. Agree to disagree. Brought to you by Garden Roofing and Gutters.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
We got to keep it local with this one. Could the Seattle streetcar see a revival? And should it? According to the Seattle Times, Mayor Bruce Harrell wants to complete the streetcar line by building out the First Avenue section of track that would connect the South Lake Union line and the First Hill line that are currently unconnected. Mayor Harrell tells the Times about the existing routes that they're, quote, good investments, but I look at them as stranded investments because of the lack of connectivity, and I want to see them connected. So there's a draft, apparently, of the mayor's downtown revitalization plan that calls for the streetcar to act as a key connector to an arts and entertainment district. Just for some figures on this and what it would cost, the original estimate for a First Avenue connection was $300 million in 2019, but the Times estimates it will cost more than double that today. G. Scott, right now we have a two-legged stool. Should we add the third leg to the stool?
Absolutely. The answer is yes. For a second, if you can visualize the whole streetcar thing being done correctly. And you, because right now it's terrible. It's trash, right? Now, today. But to see it actually be done the right way, people being able to go over this side of town and this side of town, your friends coming in and town. Look, Seattle, I keep saying it, Seattle is going to be a destination of affluence. It's the reason why everything, you see the crane still in the air. It's the reason why the cost of living is so expensive. It's the reason why the median home price here is $800,000+, because streetcars, I do believe, is the future. And I think the mayor is onto something. Could you imagine Ursula bringing your friends? Ooh, wee, let's get on the streetcar.
No.
You take a picture for the gram. It looks beautiful on TV.
No. The reason why.
No.
The reason why I'm not overly excited.
Going on a sexy date on a streetcar?
No. The streetcar is not a new idea, and this has been bounced around for at least the last decade.
Uh-huh.
And I just need to remind you about some fairly recent history. Now, first of all, there are two current lines, right? But they're just not, connected. And so you're saying, or the mayor's saying, and other proponents are saying, well, if we connect it, there'll be more people. I mean, those two lines, Anytime I've seen a streetcar, it's virtually empty. Okay. There's just not a lot of usage. So I get this idea of, okay, well, if we do connect it, maybe more people will use it. If you are talking about limited resources right now, and the city of Seattle is facing a budget deficit, I believe, or they're going to be facing a budget deficit, and you have limited resources, are you going to invest in something that, A, has not been proven to be that popular, and there's no guarantee that it's going to be more popular? B, aren't there bigger fish to fry right now in terms of priorities for the city than this streetcar, which may or may not be used very much? Great. It sounds great for, you know, future events in the city in 2025. Is it the World Cup or something else is coming here? No, I think we have bigger priorities right now. But do I need to remind you that just fairly recently, this is the same streetcar that turned out that you know what I'm about to say?
Yes.
Yeah. They blew the budget because the cars turned out to be too big and heavy to fit the tracks and the stations that had already been built. I'm sorry, but I have a hard time believing that they're going to do better just because they say, hey, you know, we've got a new administration. This has just been a lot of money already poured into something that's not been proven.
So,
yeah.
So because it's failed in the past, which we can all agree with, you guys are saying you don't even want to try again.
Well, I think we have bigger priorities. Frankly, I think that the
you mean like the stadium?
The cleanup of downtown needs to continue. I think the rebuilding of downtown needs to continue. And I don't know that the streetcar is going to make that big of a
interesting
difference.
Interesting you say that. I had a buddy go to a Yankee game yesterday because the Mariners played the Yankees. Didn't do so well. But anyways, they played against the Yankees. Told me, wow, downtown looks amazing right now.
It is so much better. Agreed. So, and let's continue that.
Let's continue. No. It's going to continue. Like, it is going to continue.
Yeah.
Where can you live?
I just don't think the streetcar is going to be the investment that makes sense.
And by the way, Robin Piala makes a good point. I just want you to tell you, I failed multiple times on marriage. How about that?
Okay, I can make a case for this as a good economic investment, and here's why. Average people are not getting on buses. Buses are confusing. You have to know the routes. You have to know the schedules. They're not tourist friendly at all. I don't know tourists that generally use buses. Streetcars are basically stupid, simple public transportation. You get on, you know exactly where you're going. It's going to go right around in the next direction. This solves parking issues for a lot of folks who are living in the region but might want to come down to Seattle. The current lines don't make a whole lot of sense because, okay, you have a line that goes from South Lake Union to Westlake Station, basically. How many people really want to go back and forth between there? Not that many. You have a line that goes from Capitol Hill down to the ID, and it pretty much stops there. And there's this big gap in the middle, right? Now, if I'm flying into town and I'm staying in Capitol Hill, and I can take the streetcar right down to the ID, go get some good food down in the ID, check out a Mariners game, and then I'm going to take the streetcar up First Avenue, go hit some of the bars in Pioneer Square, or I'm staying at a hotel in South Lake Union, it can make some sense. The question is it worth the investment?
Yeah, and the investment so far, have they been anywhere close to their budget estimates so far? Crickets?
Yeah, I mean, no.
The answer is no. Okay, and then on top of that, you're talking about what is our office vacancy rate currently in Seattle? You're talking about tourists using this.
Yes, because they want to revitalize downtown as a tourist core and a place that people come in to visit.
We have plenty of tourists. The problem right now is people who live in Seattle don't want to come back to Seattle. Mm-hmm. That's the downtown.
Okay.
You say what now?
The people who work in downtown Seattle don't want to come back to downtown
Very
Seattle.
Very true.
Yeah. So if this is meant to move them around, yeah, we need to get them back in first. Is this going to be the difference?
Well, it might
maker?
Not bring them back to the office, but it might bring them back downtown to visit the Arts and Entertainment District.
Yeah. I just don't think it's worth the money.
I think you need to debate Mayor Harrell on this. That's what I think. Enough of talking to me. Enough of talking to G. All right, G, this one's tailor-made for you. Are you ready for high school athletes to get paid? With the advent of name, image, and likeness, most of us are aware that college athletes can make money on endorsements and sponsorships. But until I read a Seattle Times story last week, I did not know that high school athletes can do the same. Apparently, High school athletes in 28 states, including Washington, can leverage their name, image, and likeness for cold, hard cash. The Washington State Interscholastic Athletic Association clarified back in October, yes, this is okay. We do not have any rules against it, and here's what we're going to do to prevent people from abusing it. High school athletes can simply not use their high school name, logo, or uniform as part of any deals that they make with, let's say, a car dealership. Gee, is this going too far, or is just this just dealing with the reality of the fact that there's some superstar kids in our community?
If my son or daughter is really good at singing and has the opportunity at 16 years old to compete on American Idol, is that too far? If my son or daughter is really good at balancing books, loves accounting, and goes to work for her uncle that has an accounting firm, and they on the side get paid to do that, is that too far? I'm just trying to say we cannot pick and choose how someone brings in money legally. As long as it is legal, it is fine. So if you do get paid because some company in the area wants to say, hey, we love Billy. We want Billy to advertise our stuff on social media. There's an argument, Ursula, that can be had that some of the clicks on social media can be more than TV ads. There's that.
Is this a good thing, though, starting at such a young age? I mean, so I'm trying to keep an open mind. So, and from what I read in this article, it doesn't mean a lot of money right now. I mean, it's generally dealing with really small.
Well, currently in Virginia, they estimate that 2 to 5% of high school athletes could eventually get paid because of deals like this.
Yeah. You know what's interesting while we're talking about this? And I gave a stat earlier today. I'm not trying to get too deep, but there was a stat from 2000 to 2018 that 300,000 kids under the age of 18 has gotten married in this country. Married!
Yeah, which I think is just horrible.
Which is interesting. But anyway, my point is that I think that any time money is made in an unconventional way, in a way that hasn't been done before, for some reason there's always pushback. And then pushback by the same people that say, hey, you need to work hard. I worked hard for everything that I got.
Yeah. I'm just trying to understand it better. I'm just trying to understand how does this become a good thing for someone at that very young age? And is there more avenues for exploitation? I mean, maybe it is a great thing. Maybe I have it all wrong, you know, because I'm still of that mindset of, hey, you know, you are a college athlete, you get, you know, free college and tuition and boarding and all this kind of stuff. And I'm still trying to get used to the idea of, you know, basically you're a semi-professional.
Well, I mean,
so I'm trying to understand now, how is this a good thing starting in high school?
I'm going to say it's if you can understand a college coach or these coaches getting paid $100 million.
Yeah, I can't. I can't.
Okay.
I am one of those.
But there seems to be more pushback on a young adult making money than there is for a coach making $100 million.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with my pushback on this idea. It really has to do with protecting young people from exploitation. And then the other part is, isn't it just going basically straight to professional sports in high school?
What percentage of people are really concerned about these children being exploited? Because if you're so concerned, then folks would be concerned about how these kids and or families have their kids out there making all of this money for the universities.
Yeah.
All of this money where the head coach is making $100 million.
Yeah.
Where the strength coach is making $1 million a year.
So basically exploitation of the
talent. Can I take this out of the college realm? Because I like, look, the college thing is over, and you're absolutely right. It's ridiculous that college coaches make $100 million. But you brought up the idea of, you know, a high school kid who's working in his dad's accounting shop on the side, right? There are no rules against high school student athletes getting a side job. I was wrestling and I had a job in high school. There's nothing against that. You talk about a singer. Okay, well, what if she goes out and gets a contract, right? Well, you know what? If you're a high school singer and you get a professional recording contract or you're being endorsed, should you be allowed to participate in high school competitions? No, you're a professional at that point. And I kind of argue that in high school, you know what, if you're being paid for like playing football or playing basketball, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you not a professional at that point?
So I didn't even think about that. That's a good point, too.
It's funny you say that. It's interesting. What about child actors? Are they allowed to participate in sports? What about TikTok influencers? Are they allowed to participate in sports?
There's nothing that prevents someone from doing so. Yeah, absolutely not.
It's the same thing. You are a professional. You're getting your money as a profession, but you're still going to do sports. You can't pick and choose.
No, I can. If there's a high school wrestler that is getting paid, let's say, $10,000 by their local car dealership because they're so good at wrestling, okay, you've taken 10 grand. You can go ahead and take yourself out of the tournament at that point. It's different than being a child actor and also being on the football team or the baseball team.
Okay.
But you know what? I might evolve on this over time.
Okay.
We're agreeing to disagree right now.
Yeah,
how's that?
For sure. For sure. All right. Coming up next on the Gian Ursula Show, Mickey Gomez is going to come in, and I just refuse to say the word, and God just let her say it. But anyway, there's some folks that are suing their neighbors for renting out their swimming pool. All right. We'll discuss that next. Gian Ursula.
It is 11:34. You're listening to the Gian Ursula Show. Happy Tuesday to all of you. And it has been warm enough to use the outdoor pool. I've been twice now. So that's really cool considering that we haven't even hit June yet.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of people who want to go swimming and they have no place to go. And so many people have discovered this cool app and the ability to basically rent a pool of your neighbor or in some other neighborhood. And Mickey Gomez is here to share what this is all about. I just heard about this like a week ago. A friend of mine said she was thinking about doing this and she has a pool. And so she was thinking about renting it out.
Yeah, it's called Swimply. It's an app and you can log on, create an account and find people in your neighborhood or maybe in a neighborhood near you that are renting out their swimming pools. And this became very popular during the pandemic, right around 2020, when the public swimming pools were closed because of COVID. As a matter of fact, my family and I looked into this, into renting a pool for a day for a birthday party. And we thought it would be really cool because then, you know, the person said, hey, I'll even bartend for you. I'll open up the cabana. That's an extra $50. If you need towels, it's $10 a towel. If you need and they had blow ups and everything. So it was it turned out that it was going to cost us about $100 to $125. I don't know why we didn't do it, but I thought, what a creative idea. Well, not so much. Not anymore. Some residents in Montgomery County in Maryland are really upset that some of the homeowners in their neighborhoods are renting out their pools to strangers. And they believe that these strangers are now taking over their neighborhood. And so they want their local government to crack down on this and stop their neighbors from renting out their swimming pools.
Okay, wait a minute, because they're taking over?
So,
well, hold up.
So this
people
is...
people with their floaties walking down the sidewalk are just converging on neighborhoods?
Yes.
So this is where I'm supposed to come on a show, and I'm supposed to say, how dare they? I cannot believe that they're going to be against opening up the pools for somebody to go have fun. That's what I'm supposed to do, but let me tell them what I really do.
Okay.
I don't want you in my neighborhood either. I said what I said. If my neighbor next door has a swimming pool, I'm going over to Charlie and I'm like, hey, Charlie, that's your pool. I don't appreciate you renting it out because I don't want all these folks in my neighborhood.
But how do you know he's renting it out? How do you know that? Okay, how do you know he's not having a pool party or a barbecue or a 4th of July
because
celebration?
I know Charlie.
Okay.
And I know you. I know his family. I know all the people that come over. I know the cars. I'm the person in the neighborhood. I know the cars. Hey, Charlie. Who is this?
You're Gladys Kravitz of your neighborhood.
Absolutely. So I'm telling y'all right now, I'm going to say the quiet part out loud. A lot of people want to sit there and pretend like, oh, that would be great. I'm telling you, Ursula, I don't want you coming in my neighborhood. If my neighbor got the pool, that's their pool in the family.
Okay, wait a minute. Jesus just texted in and said, it's just like the Airbnbs change your neighborhood.
Would you agree with that, too? Yes.
So
But what about the other, but what about contractors that come into your neighborhood? What about the gardeners that come into the neighborhood?
Okay.
What about the people that have to come into the neighborhood and service?
Good try.
They're strangers.
There's not contract work going on every day. Right now, interest rates are high. Folks ain't pulling out money out of the house. Mickey Gomez, good try.
But not to mention.
Every weekend, y'all renting a pool out and some different kids. I need a break.
to your point,
no, come on. It could be, you know, there's no regulations in terms of what hours they would use. So, like, suddenly someone decides they want to have a midnight skinny dipping party at the pool that they've just rented out. So now you got people screaming at midnight.
I believe there are hours on the app, and it's within reason. And what a lot of these people want is they want the government, the local government, and their HOAs to say no. Just like you can't have Airbnbs or Verbos, you can't have Swimply. But I think this is wrong. I think if you've got a pool and you want to be able to rent it out, do it.
Every weekend?
Not every weekend. I mean, it depends on how bad you need the money. I mean, what if you're trying to save your house? What if you've lost your job and you've got a swimming pool that people will want to use? Then you've got to be able to, you know, supplement your income that way.
Let me tell you what they taught me.
What? Stop living beyond your means?
Stop buying avocado toast and lattes, and you wouldn't have to do that. Ursula, I'm being real
Well, you know, what if it's your grandma who's trying to age in place in her home and she has a swimming pool and that's the only way that she can leverage some revenue in order to stay in her home? But I do get your point, G. Like, when I hear children playing outside, the sound of them splashing and playing, all it brings to mind is just instant rage. I'm just so enraged at the sound of joy that I don't want it in my neighborhood.
Just so you know, wait, real quick, Chef, that doesn't work on me. That works on anybody else. This whole, hearing kids in the neighborhood. The kids don't drive themselves, okay? Uh-huh. So it's going to be the adults that's driving. It's going to be people parked in front of my house. Uh-huh. I don't like it.
Is it public parking or not?
No, not in front of my house.
Yes, it is.
Okay, hold up. Okay, let's agree on one thing, though. Mm-hmm. We live in an area where we have a complete shortage, an extreme shortage of outdoor pools. Would you not
agree?
Ain't
my problem.
I mean, we have a lot of lakes, though.
I like to swim.
I mean,
wait, weren't you in favor of somebody opening up a cider business in their garage, but selling their swimming pool is wrong?
I just want y'all to know. Because for some reason, you guys are going to keep saying, wait, G, weren't you the one? I am not even the same person as I was 3 months ago. I'm telling you right now, I am not the same person. Yes. I actually lean more towards the conservative things because some of y'all folks tired of stuff. Me too.
I mean, well, then how do you feel about this? There's a nap. There is an app, and it's been around for a little while, where you can take your dog to someone's backyard, and it's called Sniff Spot. And if you have a reactive dog like I do, I can take my dog to that backyard, that big backyard, and let my dog run around and have fun like she was born free. And
okay, hold up.
Instead of going to a dog park.
Okay, I'm going to take the kids splashing over a bunch of dogs in my neighbor's backyard.
Well, guess what I got in my
sniffing around, next, barking.
Next door to
dog poop.
Next door to me, I got my Vietnamese partner.
Okay.
They be having karaoke like once a month. I rocks with them. And then across the street, I got some new neighbors, Ursula, that moved in. They are already building a karaoke spot inside the garage that I'm going to be a part of.
So you're okay with that, but just not people renting out their swimming pools.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's because G doesn't like swimming.
Because I don't like swimming. I don't like all these different cars in my neighborhood. But if my neighbors want to be doing karaoke at 2 in the morning, I'm all for it.
Okay. Mickey, thank you. You're welcome.
Mickey, I love you coming on anytime at 11:30.
You got us going.
Let's do it.
All right. Ursula, coming up next on the Gina Ursula Show. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. We hear you and words to live by. It's almost the end of the show.
It's Gina Ursula. I didn't get a definitive answer out of you when we were talking about renting out pools.
Okay.
So you got the spot that you in your house, by the way, newly updated.
Yeah.
You've been having get-togethers all the time. If next door they had a pool and they were renting it out every weekend, are you good with that?
Probably not. Realistically, now, mind you, my neighbor did have a pool when we first moved in.
Okay.
They got rid of it. Uh-huh. Because it was too much of a liability. Mm-hmm. And one of the people that reminded them of how much of a liability it is, mm-hmm. Was when Stephen, my oldest, was 4. Baby Eric was just born. And we were visiting. And right. Stephen, before he even learned how to swim, decided that was the time to jump in the pool. You know who ended up jumping in right after him? Me. I had to give my neighbor Baby Eric.
What?
And I went jumping in the pool. Yeah. And as he was going glug, 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 a week later, we signed him up for swim lessons.
I'll admit, years ago, wouldn't have cared. But today, I'm like Stanley and Friday. Stay off my grass. That's me in the neighborhood. I become that person.
Yeah, I mean, if it was an occasional rental, okay, fine.
Yeah.
I love the sound of happy kids.
Right.
If it's all day, all night, no.
Chef tried to guilt me and be like, oh, gee, you just don't like the sound of kids out playing. No, I don't like the sound of grown adults splishing and splashing after 10 o'clock at night. I don't like the fact that they're going to... And by the way, when you start getting some drinks in your system, what are they going to be doing late at night?
Yeah.
And Lillian doesn't want me at the window looking, saying, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing?
They'll be coming over your fence, your side of the fence.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. All right. Let's get to the text messages, Ursula.
Okay, speaking of fences, there's no fence yet. Years and years and years later at the Echo Glen Youth Jail, despite plans to build one for, 40 years. 206 says, did you say Washington's going to spend $4.5 million for a fence? I'll do it for $100,000.
Thieves on kayaks. No, Chef, I'm not doing that. Thieves on kayaks and wetsuits stole $20,000 from an occupied home in Yarrow Point. 352 says, guys, this was an inside job, 1,000%.
Okay, when it comes to renting out your pool, Casey says, it's always fun when G brings out his conservative side. Also fun that G is against the pool renting since he's for people making side incomes. Yeah, G.
Hey, Casey.
The mental gymnastics. He's pointing it out.
No, I think most of us play mental gymnastics the time, right? And Casey, by the way, you're right. Nick says, gee, government dictating how one may use their privately owned swimming pool is not a conservative stance.
Ooh. Doug in Olympia says, hello, I ran an Airbnb in Olympia from 2014 to 2019. I had a pool, which was a selling point during the summer. In the summer of 2018, a local family contacted me through Airbnb and asked about renting our pool for a few hours during daytime on a weekly basis. We said, sure. This went on for about 6 weeks, and it was fun to share our pool during the heat of the summer.
Oh.
There you go.
Should Seattle complete its streetcar project? 253 says, Seattle is anti-car, and this would be a great option.
Eric in Columbia City says, First Avenue trolley will make that street completely impassable. Terrible, terrible.
good job, Diane in the 360 says, we were just in New Orleans, and we took the streetcar and buses all over town. They go from downtown to the major city parks and are better and cheaper than Uber for sightseeing.
On the topic of how many people don't even bother reporting minor crimes anymore, Chris and Breyer actually suggests something that several others have, too. Police funding is based upon need and response times. Advise listeners to always take the time to report a crime, even minor property theft and traffic accidents. If people quit calling 911, it'll skew the crime rate to look lower than it is, and the cities will lose even more federal and local funding for police. Funding must always be qualified by statistics.
Yeah, until you start having those pool parties, like Stanley get mad and Miss Parker be in the neighborhood. All right, Ursula, it's time for Words to Live By, brought to you by Wilcox Farms.
You know, and I'm always looking for a quote that fits the show. And today there's a lot of laughter. So we need more kindness, more compassion, more joy, and more laughter. As Milton Berle once said, laughter is an instant vacation.
It really is.
It really is. This show went fast. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Ursula. It was good stuff today. Chef, appreciate you, bro. Thank you. Nick, what you got, bro?
Well, retirement used to be all about when the time was right. But now the game has changed to can we see the end in sight with people working longer careers than ever from the past? And for some, feeling worried if their 401k will last. So maybe put on hold your plans for a big wet pool in the back. I'm hearing the popular trend is renting out your neighbor's shack. Don't be splashing too hard or making too much noise in town. G might knock on the door and yell over, turn that music down.
Hey, I got the cameras out. You know what I mean? I want to say that the older I get, I'm a good neighbor.
Well, that's also the more you're investing in your home, right? The more you're protective over it.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah. Everybody weighs. And plus, you know I live in a cul-de-sac, right?
I do too.
Cul-de-sacs look different.
Why are you in my neighborhood? You got no business here.
Not in my backyard.
By the way, do not take everything I say serious. Laugh a little bit. Ursula, appreciate you, my friend. Chef, thank you. Nick, always appreciate you. And we thank you guys for listening. You got the Midday Show is coming up next. We appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. And as always, be kind.
Hope you have as much fun as we have. So long, everybody.